Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is August 26, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening over our Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's plural, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. This week we'll be reading in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, read by Alexander Scorby.
The Proverbs, chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Okay, and I am coming through okay, right, Terry?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, before we get started with the questions, by the way, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, *601 if you're on a phone. Got an app or browser, there should be a button there to get into the queue. I want to play this video. It's a five-minute clip. I spoke a little bit about it last week. Just mentioned people might want to look at this, but I'm going to play it tonight. It's about 5 minutes long, so.
Oh, it's the eye of the mountain, Lord. We kept the watch of my brother's soul.
You're not merely transferring power from one administration to another, from one party to another. But we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
America's enemies must never know our plans or believe they can wait us out. I will not say when we are going to attack, but attack we will.
And sure burn together. Watch the flames climb high into the night, calling our Father. Stand by and we will watch the flames burn over and on the mountainside. And if we should die tonight, we should all die together, raise a glass of wine for the last time, calling our Father. Prepare as we will watch the flames burn up and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire inside the mountain. I see fire burning the trees. And I see fire hollow in soul. I see fire burning the trees. And I hope that you remember me.
I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down.
Surely I'll do the same. Come finding mountain holes. We got too close to the flame. Calling out, Father, hold fast and we will watch the flames burn all and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire inside the mountain. I see fire burning the tree. I see fire alone, so I see fire burning the trees, and I hope you remember me. And if the night is burning, I will cover my eyes. For if the dark returns, then my brothers will die. And as the sky is falling down, it crashed into this lonely town. And with that shadow upon the ground, I hear my people screaming out, and I see fire. Inside the mountains, I see fire burning the trees. I see fire cold and soul. I see fire burning the breeze. I see fire.
Oh, you know a sort of city burn.
I see fire.
We will not bend, we will not break, we will not yield. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never back down. We will never, ever surrender.
I see fire burn over and on the mountainside.
talking, John. You're muted.
Okay. You got questions or any announcements tonight, Terry?
I just have one question. Jan told me he sent it to you for thinking it's kind of long.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but let's try it anyway. I know he sent something to me, and I don't know whether I can read it actually.
You might open it up so you can follow and take a look.
Dissect it, or maybe you could read through it, and then we'll dissect it a little bit, see how it's...
I'm developing a contract to offer my local authorities education on our true laws of the land, and education for what their oath to the Constitution means. I need to know the cost of your programs and cost for the purchase of related materials for sheriffs and whatever other education that would teach an officer or an official what their oath of the Constitution means. That because of their oath, they are first and foremost obligated to follow the law of the land and are obligated to strictly comply with due process of law, minus disturbing the peace, an injured party, or witnessing a people injuring someone else, stealing from someone else, or damaging someone else's property. I'd also like the cost of obtaining handbooks. I need an estimated time to complete all courses and the total cost of said courses, and include course materials as part of the contract. I will demand that their officers and officials be educated about what their oath to the Constitution means. I'm thinking maybe, and she gives a specific donation amount to National Liberty Alliance, plus costs of courses and related materials. This should also consist of tracking of them, officials and officers completing said courses, and certification by NLA for completion of courses. Or, you tell me what would work for education to keep them from violating people's rights. Having said that, I doubt they will agree to all of the education because they make more money on their deceit, but I'm going to try nonetheless. That's it. So there was no question in there. I thought there was one, but she was asking how much it would it cost. So there you go.
Well, I'm not too sure exactly what course they were looking for, except for the specific books or something, but... Anyway, all of our handbooks, you know, look, if people can purchase them. We're not here to make money on them. I think we make about $1 a piece. Let me see if I can find out books by John Duresh. Here we go. Now, you can go to this page here and get all the books you want, the handbooks. I don't remember what exactly the price of these handbooks were. They were a little more richer than I'd like them to be. Maybe it was $5 or something, $6 maybe, depending on which book, because some of these handbooks are pretty thick. And I think we make about $1 on each handbook that's sold. Of course, that goes into support NLA's efforts here. Of course, these two books here are available pretty cheap, $40 a piece, $39.95. These are hardcover books, 8.5 by 11, 550 pages. They're pretty thick, a lot of information. Now, really for education, because we do have a problem with particularly our law enforcers, and it's pretty, pretty bad. You know, I just did some research on sheriffs to see where we are standing across America, and it was pretty sad because we have problems with probably 60% of our sheriffs. We have, I forget how many states, probably about 5 states that don't even have sheriffs no more, maybe 6. And we have certain counties in different states that don't have sheriffs. We have places where the cops, the police departments in cities have a higher ranking decision on the law and on things than the sheriff does. But we have some places where sheriffs are unable to make arrests. I mean, this list goes on and on and on. And I did write a paper on this. We did file a paper up into the courts up in the Northern District of New York here, really looking for... Really a declaration to declare the law and enforce the sheriff's power, the sheriff's back to the sheriffs. But that's just the first part of the problem. The second part of the problem is to educate our sheriffs. We used to have a good sheriff here in my county, very good sheriff, and he told me when, in my meeting with him that if I had a problem in the road or anything, give him a call and he'd be out there. Of course, the sheriff, his deputies or someone, whoever was on call, but he would be there. He passed away not long ago, and his undersheriff took over, and then he was just recently reelected, elected the first time around. But this guy is just missing in action totally. We've had some problems. I called him, no response, nothing. Deputies don't know anything. He refused to uphold the law. It's a whole new story in my county. And he's a Republican. I'll vote for a Democrat before I vote for this guy. But I'm going to have a meeting with him eventually, hopefully within the next few months, and read the Riot Act to him the way it is. And we're developing a committee of safety here in my county, so we'll go and force to deal with this guy. If he wants our support, he needs to start getting educated. He does have a copy of our book. Okay, so but what we have done here for sheriffs, anybody who can get a sheriff to come out onto the site to get an education, it's totally free. All they have to do is acknowledge the fact that they're a sheriff when they sign up and just fill out the necessary thing information we have. And then we will flip the button, and that sheriff will have access to every one of our courses totally free of charge. Now, we don't really charge much money for our courses. As a matter of fact, most of our courses are free. If you go under Education Starts Here, you come down to our courses. And if we click on just the course page there itself, you'll get all the courses. Our foundation study is free. Our civics course is free. Our constitutional course 101 introduction is free. Our militia course is free. Now, we have three other courses. One's government by consent, another is jury administrator accredited course, and court access in the common law course. Now, the jury administrator course and the government by consent course, we ask people to be a premier member in order to get into those courses. And a premier member is someone that's given $5 a month or more. But we've had people, you know, it's pretty bad out there, especially people on limited incomes. And we've had people with limited incomes, and they can't even afford that $5 a month. And we can appreciate that. So we'll let them in for free. We're about education here. We're not about making money. But we do need money to keep the lights on. We do need donations. We need something in order to pay for things, and things are getting much more expensive. We do have a situation coming up. We're able to pay for our sheriff's program that we've, not a sheriff's program, but papers that we filed up in the Northern District. We had one individual pay for that whole thing. So that's been filed. We're probably going to have to go through the appeal process and probably another $600 for that. So it's kind of surprising. They charge more on a federal level for an appeal, $600, than they do to file the papers, which is, I think, $410. Which is ridiculous, but that's one of the problems we have. But anyway, and of course, we have like about, goodness, I forget, maybe 30 people that have to be served with. You know, most of them really are legislators, state legislators that have to be served on this paper. And each one of them costs X amount of dollars. We're not too sure yet, but that's being covered also. So that's covered. We also have this next paper we're filing, which we did get some money on that. We're very close to being covered on that, and I'm not too worried about being able to afford that at this point. But what we do have a problem with is we need $3,000 in order to upgrade our website. And, you know, we're still waiting for some things potentially happening that'll potentially give us some critical mass. We don't know yet, but we are in a place where we're going to get exposure potentially to millions of people. So we'll see what will happen. If that happens, then things are going to escalate very quickly, and we should have our website, you know, really upgraded by then, and we will be on. Matter of fact, I've already put them on standby for a potential, you know, move towards broadband should we get that critical mass, because they can react very quickly. We're also concerned with denial of service, but we're reasonably protected for that, too. But look at these guys that are out there destroying things. They're pretty good at it, and they can give us a denial of service and cause problems. But that's usually temporary anyway. So we have a lot of things going. It's all for free. Now, for the handbooks, all of our handbooks are totally free. If you come under Start a Committee of Safety, come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, all the handbooks that we showed you on books by John Darash underneath the Welcome tab is available here in PDF downloads. So that's all available, too. But if people want that handbook, it's a nice handbook. They're pretty good-looking handbooks, well done, and they fit in your top pocket or in your back pocket or whatever the case may be. So if people want those, of course, they've got that. I would suggest that people get copies of those handbooks to their to the sheriff to hand out to their deputies. That's going to cost a few bucks, depending. We have a sheriff's handbook. Let me go back to that page real quickly here. We have a sheriff's handbook, which is pretty thick. A lot of information on that handbook. Okay, and let's see what the price is. It's just $7 for it. So we're making a buck on it, maybe a buck and a quarter. Again, we're not here to make the money on it, but that's pretty expensive. Now, I do know if I can put an order in, we can have a printer print up. I know there's a guy out west somewhere. I forget where he's at, but they print out for constitutional, what's the name of that?
National Center for Constitutional Studies, NCCS.
NCCS, yes. Okay, they've got the little handbooks, which are the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and some quotes, Founding Father quotes, and so on. It's a really good book, and it's also like about 35 cents a piece or 40 cents a piece. And we could do the same thing on some of these books. This is a thick book, so it probably would be about 60 cents a piece. But we'd have to order, 50,000 books or something of that nature, and we're not able to do anything like that at this point in time. So if that day comes, of course, we will do that. The other book that is extremely important, I think, is the Common Law Petit Jury Handbook. Okay, that's something that we need to get lots of them printed out at some point in time. And then, of course, there is the Grand Jury Handbook. Let's see, here it is, Common Law Grand Jury Handbook. Again, all of these books, are totally free PDF downloads. But if you want the handbook to stick in your pocket, fine. At some point in time, we're going to have to do something to get those things real cheap so we can supply to all of the administrators for the grand and petit juries that we're building across America. For those who may not know what we're doing with that, we are out there planning to put 4 administrators in every county and 1 paralegal within the state courts within every county in order to handle the orientation and the calling forth, the preparation, and people to answer to the juries any of their problems and to bring them together. At some point in time, the paper that we're working on, we'll look a little bit out tonight, that particular paper is going to be talking somewhat on the grand jury, and of course the petit jury, and the administrations. We want to take back the administrations. They were in the hands of the people, but now they're in the hands of bar attorneys. So they get they're the people who get to orientate the juries. And of course, the judge tells the jury what the law is and all that stuff, which of course is unlawful. It's not part of common law. It's not the way common law works. So we have a lot of work to do to take all that back. But we are in the works of that. We're on a final paper to deal with that particular problem. So as far as an education is concerned, let me get back to the sheriffs. The sheriffs can come on, join our and everybody here should join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Just come up here and highlight sheriffs. Let me get it. Highlight sheriff and click on join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, which is an educational process. We are looking for money, and hopefully one day we'll get it so that we can go professional here, because we do need to go professional. We need to do things we need to do. One of the things, of course, we want to make sure that all of our sheriffs are educated. We used to run, I'm trying to think how many it was. I think we had 10 fax machines going at the same time. I got the ability, I think, to run 20, but I got 10 right now, potentially speaking. But we did shut that down. The cost factors, to run all those phone lines and look from the perspective of a business and so on, it costs some money, but I think we need to get that back started again. I think we need to start feeding particularly, and we were sending things to every elected person in America, everywhere, whether it's state legislators, governors, state governors, of course, and whether it was, the federal level, or the Senate, and so on, and even through the court systems, and all of the sheriffs. We were faxing them one page, you know, information occasionally, maybe every couple of weeks they'd get a page from us, but it would take a couple of weeks to go through that whole list for 10 fax machines running 24/7. We need to reset that back up so that we can start communicating better with our sheriffs, but it's up to the people to deal with this problem. It is our fault we are where we're at. It is true that they've kept us ignorant and so on and so forth, but now we're no longer ignorant. There's a lot of information out there. People are waking up. People know it's time to step up and really do something. And if we fail at this job, it's because the people failed. It's not because we can't accomplish the goals we need to accomplish. We can accomplish those goals, but the people need to step up and take care of the business in order to accomplish these goals. Now, when it comes to education in the schools, again, it's up to the people to deal with this. When Trump gets into office, he's shutting down the educational department, and he's going to turn it back to the states where it belongs. They never had the authority to do that. Of course, they don't have the authority to do like 90% or more of what they do anyway. But in any event, it's up to the people to recognize when they're stepping out of line. It's up to the people to correct these people when they step out of line. We need to do recalls of people. The only way we can accomplish these goals is building committees of safety across America. And through that process, also at the same time, building administrations for the juries, the grand and petit juries in every county, where four people and one paralegal. Paralegal would be also educated in the process that we teach. But those individuals would be able to handle what goes on with the grand jury. It's a full-time job. It's a paid position. And of course, they'd be overseen by the Committees of Safety, the Judiciary Committee, the Committee of Safety. If a problem arises, then they would be able to deal with it. It would be up to that, the Committee of Safety, to make sure that the people that are taking these positions follow through and complete their education. Anybody running for that position, right now we've got quite a few people who signed up for that, but they're not responding. Most of them is not responding, and so that list may really have to be revamped. But right now we have 1,267 people that have signed up to be grand jury administrators. Every one of those people are supposed to be taking all of our courses, every single one of them, with the exception of the law course, but we may even require that. And if we require that, we'll probably just open it up for free for them. But the sheriffs come in, they should take the law course. Because if they take our common law court access course, they'll understand due process. After all, they're sheriffs, they're deputies. They're supposed to know these things. They're supposed to know how due process works there and when it's being broken and not adhered to. So they need to take that course. They also need to understand common law and come to the realization and the understanding that the statutes have nothing to do with the people. And there are some sheriffs that know that, but they're few and far and in between. Okay, and that is a major problem because they're no longer law enforcers. And if they're not going to comply, if they got the time to educate themselves and to read the books that we give to them and do the right thing, then we don't have the time to have them for sheriffs. We need to get rid of them. We shouldn't be waiting. I know here in my county, we get a committee of safety. We become large enough to be able to do what has to be done. We're going to go with an ultimatum to our sheriff to let it be known. Either you study and bone up and start obeying, honoring your oath, obeying the law, and requiring others to obey the law. If you're not going to do that, we're going to recall you. You got 10 days or whatever we're going to give him to start to show us that he's going to be the sheriff that we want, or we'll just recall him and look for another sheriff. But those are the things. That's the power of the people. This is government by consent. You can't have government by consent if you're ignorant. You must have a knowledge of an understanding of certain things. Okay? And just going through our courses is sufficient enough for most people. You know, even though you may not remember it enough to be able to articulate it, but you'll know the truth. You'll start to put things together. And when people speak or you see what's going on, you'll know what's right and what's wrong and what's going on and what needs to be done. So we all have to get reasonably educated. But then we also need some people who are serious. And those people will pop up that maybe want to really get to understand things and become a lawyer, okay, because we have all the courses necessary for that. Our court access in the common law will teach you everything you need to know about going into a court, how to file the papers, how the process works, how due process works throughout the system, and what papers and forms are necessary in order to do this. And common law really is common sense. So every county committee of safety at some point in time will probably eventually find one person who will go into the judiciary committee and become very, very knowledgeable in the law and become a very good advisor to all of the different committees within your county committees of safety, and also assist with maybe committees next door. Because we have to work together. We have to develop the committee of correspondence, okay, and put that all together and make sure that we have communications on things that affect us together in our state or affect us nationally. That we have to work together. We have to do what we have to do to take people out of office, to have the power and the authority of the people to run all the papers and necessary work in order to accomplish that goal. Many hands make light work. So this is why parties really have all the members and stuff, and they do what's called the committee men, which is really a facade. They're not really committee men, but they did steal the original committee men. It is the committees of safety who are the true committee men, always has been and always will be. And it's free and independent, disconnected from any party. We don't follow parties. We don't get into groups to make decisions as a party, this or that. We do work as the people together to deal with problems and to correct those problems. But in any event, people need to work together, and they need to correspond with each other. And we also need to be all come together and in a way that makes us interchangeable with each other, if I might say. For instance, under education, under Starter Committee of Safety, you go to the handbooks. We have the handbooks on County Committee of Safety organization structure. We have the County Committee of Safety Charter, the Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook, the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, Committee of Safety Resolutions and Vows, and all this information on exactly how to create a committee of safety, what the process is step by step, and all the necessary handbooks for the different committees in order to accomplish the goals and do the things that they need to do in some of these other subcommittees. Counties are different, so some counties may have committees in another area, where another county may have committees focusing in on some other area. But we all must have the same basics. We have to have a militia committee. The general committee, of course, is the committee men. We have to have a political committee, a judicial committee, committee of correspondence, a militia committee, and then whatever other committees people think they might need. And sometimes you'll create a committee because you have a situation to deal with a problem that's outside of the norm, maybe, and the committee may rise up to deal with that problem, and when it's done, they might dissipate and create another committee, whatever. People got to work these things out. This is government by consent. We need to take 100% control of our political process. We need to take 100% control of our judicial process. And I mean 100%. People don't realize that judges are not supposed to be involving themselves in any court of law. It's the people. It's the jury. They get to decide, whether it is that people are innocent or guilty. They get to decide the facts and the law and the penalty, with an eye on restitution, which doesn't exist today. Okay, we don't need to be putting people in jail in a lot of cases. They need to be restore the individuals that they injured. That in itself creates a situation where they too might be restored. The opportunity of repentance and taking care of the damages that they've done to others. This is the way a natural law republic is to run. Two-party system has got to go. People think or say, oh, you can't get rid of the parties. I'm here to tell you we absolutely can get rid of parties. All we have to do is resurrect the republic. We're doing work on that in the courts. Once we get the courts properly, where we have courts of justice running, that's one part of the things that needs to be done in order to get rid of political parties. The second thing, of course, or the major thing that really is going to create the repair ultimately is the committees of safety, because they become the real committee men, and there's great attrition on the end of committee men. They're constantly looking for new people, because as people come in and they start to do the work of all of these whether it's the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, working for all the party bosses, and after a while they start to realize the whole thing's a sham, that they're really being suckers and they're being used in order to do the will of ultimately the elite, the deep state, the people behind the deep state, because all they're doing is putting either a criminal on the right hand or the criminal on the left hand. So that's what they've been doing there. And once they realize that, they leave. And if they find out about us, they're going to come to us, and they'll bring a lot of knowledge with them when they come over also. But it's all membership for us. But they will fall apart, and eventually, when the committees of safety become strong enough, more obvious to people, we start to train children in school and so on and so forth, all of a sudden, there's going to be a total walkout from these Republican and Democrat parties. They're not needed. No republic can survive political parties. It's impossibility. It cannot happen. Look what has happened to us already. Okay, they're up there debating and arguing different things that they have no business arguing. Our First Amendment. How much freedom of speech are they going to give us? Our Second Amendment. Our right of redress. Nah, we don't want to talk with you. We're not going to answer you. This is a problem, and we got to fix this problem. Okay, and it's not going to be fixed with parties. As long as you have parties, it's just more and more destruction, because everybody votes the party instead of what is right. And we have to get rid of the special interest groups. You get rid of the parties, there are no more special interest groups. There's other ways to deal with this situation when people run for office. We've got a plan for all of this. If you just read through our handbooks and information we've got a plan for all of it. But going back to courts, judges don't belong in courts. If a judge goes into a courtroom, a court of law, that is, they belong in equity courts. That's where they become the judge with their judge cap. But even there, they have to operate under the rules of common law, not the rules that they've created. And they have to operate under American jurisprudence, which was really laid out with a lot of different things through history and through a lot of good Supreme Court rulings and so on and so forth, that they have to be obedient to. And all of it has got to comply to common law. It has to be in harmony with common law. So again, we just have to become educated. We have to educate our children. Look, by the time our children come out of a fourth year of high school, they go through their 12 years, they should have far more. And if it's properly done, you give them a good education. They have far more knowledge than any college education you can even imagine. Okay, because they just waste a lot of our time as they indoctrinate our children, they demoralize our children, and they're just destroying everything. So committed safety is the answer. It's the only way. If people don't want to do it and we fail to accomplish the goals, then, Trump and the military can do all they want to give it back to the people, but we'll be back here again sometime in the future. Our children will have to deal with this again, and it'll go over and over and over again until the people finally wake up and stop being lazy and say, let's do what we got to do. So, we need. And what's involved in a committee of safety? You got a meeting once a month, okay? And maybe that takes 2 hours plus traveling time out of your life. Big deal. 2 hours a month. And then maybe between meetings, maybe you have 2 hours of work to do. Big deal. You can't give four hours for liberty, 4 hours to save our republic, 4 hours to exercise our right of government by consent, because that's the only way it's going to happen. There is no other way. I challenge anyone to show me anything different. Got to get rid of the Bar Association. That's a slam dunk, and we're working on that right now with papers that we're filing. We'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. But we need to get rid of the Bar Association. They're the minions of the New World Order. They created all this stuff. They created all of the necessary laws, the statutes. They take control of corporations and everything that goes on, your education, whatever you think you're doing, whatever's happening in your life that the government is controlling, it is the Bar Association that's behind it all to create the whole system. We're in a statutory prison, and people need to wake up to this. But again, until we wake up, if we don't wake up and we don't take back our nation by building committees of safety, and you know what? We have, I believe, I don't know what the population in the United States is. I think it's about 300 million. Someone told me it's like 350 million, minus, of course, all of the illegals. But somewhere between that, out of that 350 million, let's say that's what it is. Is that right, 350? Yeah, I think 350. Anyway, out of that number, we only need 300,000 people, okay? And if we start educating our children in school, before you know, we'll get 3 million people and 30 million, because a lot of people will start to get involved as they become educated. We've been promised, God promised us, train up a child on the way they should walk, and when they are older, they will not depart from that. So we need to give to our children morals, Our founding father spoke about the requirement of teaching our children morals in the school. Put the Bible back into the school. There was nothing wrong with that. Look at all the damage that has taken place since then. We got woke situation. Children, little 8-year-olds don't even know which bathroom to use. It's that bad. That's serious. That's a problem. We need to fix it. That's our posterity. That's our future. That's our children. So we have to do these things. And so, again, we've worked out solutions to all of the major problems. We've gone to the core. And we need to cut off the heads of the beast, one by one, and bring things back. GR did a. He's been working on Republic Review, and recently he put out a list of all of. And I just got a hold of that, of all of the different agencies that are unlawful, that they had no power, no authority to create. You know, FBI is one of them. CIA is another one. Okay, they have no power to do that. The Federal Reserve is another one. Okay, the ATF, another one. No power, no authority to do that. We don't need any of those things. You know, as far as the CIA is concerned, we can get intelligence from the military. And now we have the best intelligence going that overall that blankets the entire Earth, and that is... the Space Force, okay? And by the way, the Space Force has been around for over 30 years, maybe 35 years, maybe even longer than that. You know, Trump came out and said, oh, we're creating the Space Force, because he's starting to introduce the people to it. We're already there. A lot of technology involved that's already been put in place, you know? We're blanketing the entire globe with satellites. Trump worked that out with Musk. That's what he's been doing. He's been putting 20 satellites up at a time. I don't know how often. I think it was every month, maybe even more, maybe a couple of times a month. I really don't know the numbers on that. But we've got quite a few up there, okay? So, you know, we certainly don't need the FBI. What do we need the FBI for? You know, let's use the process that belongs to part of common law, and that's the U.S. Marshal, okay? That's the sheriff on a federal level. Let's use the marshal. Let's give them more money. Let's train them in common law. Let's get them going. But it is true. We have to educate our sheriffs in common law. We have to educate our marshals in common law. And we have to educate our elected people. Once the people start their committees of safety and take control of their counties and the attrition statutory committee men really start to work on that particular process, and they can't control their counties no more. Whether they can or not, we'll take control anyway. And believe me, a lot of them will come over to us once they know. But once we start doing that, okay, then we can really start working on our elected officials, because then we get to decide who goes on the ballot and who doesn't. And we need to make sure that they know the Constitution. We need to require them to take a course. You send them to up to NLA. And they need to take certain courses, which we've laid out. They need to take, the court access and the common law course. A lot of these people that go into power, they've been taught by the bar. We have to kind of deprogram them. Our course will deprogram them once they know that they don't have a choice, because we're really under common law and we're not under Babylonian law, which is what civil law actually is, control of the people, the enslavement and the control of the people. That's what civil law is. Okay, and once they come to realize that, and it's hard to make them see it, but when reality hits, they'll see it quickly, because the pocketbook's going to get hurt, and they're going to want to make money, so they're going to have to learn the common law. They need to come to us for that. I mean, they can go somewhere else, but we need to require them that they take a course and show to us that they have taken that course, and a constitutional course, and show us that they've taken that constitutional course. And with that, we will support them to put them onto the ticket. And then we watch them like a hawk. Because when they break their oath the first time, we give them a call, fix the problem, or you're out of there, buddy. And they will fix the problem. You know, if the county chair calls up any politician that was connected to his election and that in any particular county district, no matter where it's at, okay, and says, hey, we got a problem, we got to talk, they listen and they hear and they respond and they'll fix the problem, because they're being told to. But of course they're not fixing the problems the way they need to be fixing them. They need to honor their oaths. And so when we make the call, they will do what has to be done. If they don't, it's recall time. Remove them, 90 days, done. Next, take on the next person. So again, This is how we educate our people. Sheriffs must take you. You have a sheriff that's running for office or in office. He needs to come out here and take a course, and you need to require it. And it's all for free for him. We don't, his deputies can come too. We don't charge anything for them. Okay, so they need to come out and take these courses, and we can tell you whether they're taking the courses or not. We can tell them, particularly the ones that we have tests on. We do need to create a test for our court access in the common law course. Maybe someone can volunteer to help us create that test. I don't have the time to do it. Eventually, I'll do it if nobody else does it, but it's going to be a little while down the line because I haven't got the time right now. But we do need to create a test for that course, because then they have to take those tests, and that all gets recorded. At the end of the day, we'll know that they took the test, and we can give them a certificate. And then they've gone through this course, and they know the common law, they know the Constitution, and now we can entrust them. So that's what we need to do. And I don't know if there's anything else I can add to that question, which wasn't really a question. It was just really a thing about education, I think, mostly. But we don't need a contract with anyone. We need obedience from them. That's what we need. I don't want a contract from any elected individual. We want obedience. Either obey the law, honor your oath, or you're fired. It's that simple. And the people can do that. You got the power. You got the authority. But it takes working together. The committee is a safety. United we stand, divided we fall. And that's why they're getting over on us. And even now when we're seeing all this, we can't even get hold of any of the controls. They got the FBI, they got the CIA, they got the Department of Homeland Security. They got everything. They got the Justice Department. They got the courts. But we can't turn right or left without being blocked, no matter what you do. It's like trying to live without a Social Security number or a birth certificate. You know, you can't do it. You can't survive. You can't open a bank account. You can't do nothing. They put us in a box. We need to unbox ourselves. And the only way we're going to do that is to have our committees of safety going and get educated and educate our children. Okay, I think that brings it back to the end of what I have to say about all that. So I guess we'll move on. There's no other questions.
There's no other questions, but I really think that you should read that message before you say anything else, but that's fine. Okay. That's the end of the question.
Is there anything else that I can try to address?
Yeah, in your message, but I'm not going to read it here.
Oh, you mean something that you didn't read?
There's something what?
Well, are you saying that there's something that you didn't read that I should read?
Yes. I said she volunteered to make a donation. I think you need to read that.
All right. All right, I'll have to look for that, because I know Jan said he sent it to me, and I was looking for it today, and I didn't see it, and I deleted it, so I'll take a look. Maybe you can send that out to me now, and I'll look at it tomorrow.
I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. All right, let me close some of these tabs here. All right. I want to just briefly go through something we started last week. I don't think we're going to spend much time on it because it's already 9:45, and I want to get at least an hour's worth of open conversation, any questions or comments that people might have, or even any corrections that they can offer. We're open for corrections. Correction is grievous to those who have forsaken the way. We don't want to build upon error, so if someone sees an error, and from time to time we have error. You know, even my writings, when I write, I say, oh, I could have said this different, I could have said it better. You can never get perfect, you know, perfect. So, but you do the best you can. Okay, our cover sheet, I changed it a little bit. Last week we looked at the presentment. I think we were looking at it last week from the perspective of doing this as a court case. And then it dawned on me, and I don't remember whether it was before or after last week when we started to work on this, I come to realize, wait a second, this has got to be a presentment. It can't be a court case. We're not going to go through the whole court system and take 6 months to a year to get to the Supreme Court. We need to go directly, and they need to answer and respond to this presentment. So this is a national emergency, an extraordinary presentment, and an extraordinary indictment upon the federal judiciary. It literally is. Anyway, we did kind of look at this page, or this information on the page anyway, but it is formed now in a way that is presentment and not a court case. We also, you know, we have doorkeepers, and we'll make it very clear to these people, notice to agent is notice to principal. That's found under Montana Code annotated 2023. And under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2071, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. Excuses or ignoring will be futile. So we want to make sure this gets to the Supreme Court justices. But you know what? If it doesn't get there, it doesn't get there. If it gets to some of them, it'll get to all of them. But I realize now, you know, each one of these justices are responsible for a certain district. They've broken up the United States into 9 districts. Or actually, well, there's 10 districts in the sense that the District of Columbia and the Chief Justice handles the, Roberts handles the District of Columbia, and he also handles another one. So we're going to send this paper also to all of those different addresses that they have where they're responsible for whatever district that they are responsible for overseeing. Okay, and again, we will be doing this and getting a signature for whoever receives this paper. They're going to be responsible, and we're going to make it clear. We do make it clear in the paper. We'll make it clear on the cover page too. That they're going to be responsible to if they try to sabotage this, if they try to conceal this, or remove this, or mutilate this. We're going to go after them. Okay, and they're going to say, whoever the signature is, that's the person we're going after. And if they point their finger at someone else, well, I pass it to this and the judge, well, we'll go after all of them. But we have to do something to get this information to them. I also realize that we need to. We got enforcement. We have the Navy. We have let's see. This is the National Guard. We have Space Force. We have Air Force, and we have the Army. So JAG for all of those different military operations. I also realize that we need to copy certain individuals. President Trump, of course, is one. But there are certain senators and congressmen that we know are our friends. And I've got a list of them. And I got 3 or 4 more that I've noted that I've got to get onto this list. But people should take a look at this list and send us an email. To mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. If there's another congressman or a senator that is clearly for us, working for the people, we'd like to get their name onto this, get a copy to them, and I'm going to write a special letter to these individuals talking about the Bar Association and what they're about to read, okay, that we need to get back to the law, to the common law, to bring America back into a republic of what we are. Now, I also, and again, I'm not going to read much tonight at all because we're running out of time, but the table of contents that we've got so far, I have completed the paper with the exception of the conclusion, and for lack of a better word, I'll use the word wherefore clause. It'll be more like an order. I'm not too sure exactly how I'm going to couch that. But I'm thinking about it. But those are 2 I haven't gotten to, and there potentially may be 2 other points that we need to be made. But the points that we need to be made in order to correct our problem in the United States, particularly in the courts, that will really emanate out to the entire government and right down into the states, into the state courts, and also into the political processes. And that is dealing with the abrogation of the United States of America, the abrogation of the law of the land, republic versus democracy, the king of the court, king of our courts of law and equity, prayer and the Bible in school, the right to keep and bear arms, why governments disarm people, habeas corpus, which they just totally ignore, by the way, and that's pretty frightening when they ignore habeas corpus. Court access without courts, the right to practice law, fully informed grand juries, fully informed pettijuries, jury stacking and tampering, jury orientation, balance of power, Amendment 13. Now that's the one that's going to take care of the Bar Association, because the Amendment 13 requires them to cease and desist. And they, if they continue as a bar, working with the bar and try to get into any kind of a government agency of any kind, then they lose their citizenship to begin with, and there's other penalties involved, and that's what the 13th Amendment does, the original 13th Amendment. So that's going to be a slam dunk to get rid of bar members. We've laid out a lot of information on that, what our founding fathers thought and the problems they had concerning these bar members. You know, they were destroying our courts very early on. They started way back in 1750, actually, while we were still colonies. And by the time we were becoming a nation, they already created chancery courts with chancellors all across the original 13 colonies, and even heading out west. And this was a problem that needs to be, and it's still, the problem still continues. Okay, as a matter of fact, all of our courts are now chancery courts. Every court, I have not found a court of law anywhere in America. And we've been in a lot of federal courts throughout the nation. We've been in state courts and even locally county courts. And haven't found a court of law yet. Don't exist. They've totally annihilated. They did a hell of a job on it. The final blow was in 1934 with the Rules Enabling Act. In 1938, it was executed by what? Bar attorneys. Who wrote it? The bar attorneys. Who's running all of our legislators? Bar attorneys. Who writes all the law? Bar attorneys. I guess you get the problem here. It's a major problem that needs to be dealt with. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Let's see, let me get out of here and open a different page here. And again, we're going to end this in a minute or two. Last week we read up to line 255, okay, which was page 10, and this is 129 pages altogether. Next week we'll pick up reading again. We'll start here. I was going to do this tonight, but we've been involved with so many things, I don't want to really just take up the whole time talking. I want to have conversation. But we'll pick up here at this point and continue our reading, and we'll read 20 minutes roughly every Monday at the beginning of our program, 20 minutes of this, and we'll do that every week until we get through it. I'm not going to post this up until actually it gets perfected. It's, you know, articulating it out loud helps to perfect it. I found a couple of errors from reading what we read last week. I made those corrections. I also altered certain positions and ways to really approach different things. And so it's very helpful for me to articulate this out loud. And I might as well do it live, because then people can see what we're doing and what we're, because it takes a long time to read this also. Now, when are we going to file this? It is possible by the time we finish reading this, which could take maybe 5-6 weeks, I don't know, roughly speaking. Okay. We could file it after 5 or 6 weeks, depends on what's going on at the time. I don't know when exactly we're going to file this paper. I can say by the time the election is over, I'm sure at that point we'll be filing. But we might file before it, you know. Got to play it by ear and just get the right timing, and we don't know what that is yet, but we'll find that. I trust that we will find that. Okay, so we'll pick up reading on this again next week. Until then, we're going to go back today, back to our open forum. We do have, let me see if we got how many people we got in the queue. We got 4 people in the queue. Anybody else wants to get in the queue? If you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. If you're on an app, there should be a button to get into the queue once we opened the queue. So we're ready to take questions and comments and corrections. Let me see, we'll go back to our front page. And by the way, that video I played was a 5-minute clip. It was really a powerful clip. I got this from S.G. Anand's Rumble page. He has where his videos are, his presence on Rumble. And he had posted this, and I thought it was pretty powerful, uplifting, sad, makes you cry a little. I know it did me. Some of the things that they're bringing to the surface of what's going on, especially with our children, you know. Okay, with that, let's take our first question. Let's see, it is someone from Louisiana, maybe. What's your first name?
My first name is Ronnie.
Ronnie from Louisiana? Louisiana?
Yes, sir. Louisiana. Yes, sir.
You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, I got a short question. Excuse me. I made a motion to recuse a judge in a federal court, and the judge is still ruling in my case. What would be my next move?
Well, again, they're not going to obey the law. There are certain things you can do. You can ask for his oaths and bonds. They're going to ignore that too. You want to make a look at when you start a case, you're really writing for the appeal process, because you're not going to get anywhere in the trial courts. And so you have to be writing, you know, knowing that you're going to end up as an appeal. So if you're writing good papers at some point, you'll push it pretty easily up the line through the appeals. If it is something that is a powerful case, you can bring it up to the Supreme Court, and you might get a hearing up there. Also can be kicked down, you know, if the whole Supreme Court doesn't hear it, it can be kicked down into one of the justices, districts that you might be in that handles the district, and maybe they would deal with it on the highest level that would be. Either way, that would be powerful if you can get one of the justices to make a decision. Now, again, on the case we're putting together, it's definitely a United States Supreme Court case, meaning a presentment to them that they cannot ignore. All they can do is try to hide and have their doorkeepers prevent them from coming in. But we're going to try to get it to them every way we can. We're going to ask congressmen. And, of course, we're going through the military. So there'll be pressure on them from one point or another. And they're not going to be able to hide from it, is my point. Whether they try to hide or say, well, we never got it, well, they got it. Believe me, they will get it. But with your case, it's an uphill battle, and you should be making your case realizing you're probably not going to get anywhere until after devolution. Now, if you're, and again, I don't know what your case is about. Maybe it's something that really not that big a deal, but you're having a problem with a judge and you want him to recuse himself, and they're not doing it. You know, again, you could write a paper and demanding oaths and bonds, lay out, I do is I write a writ of error at that point, laying out why he needs to recuse himself and respond with a writ of error. Now, what they did do, which is a problem because I only discovered this maybe some months back, and I think it's Rule 60, if I recall the number, and they said, you don't have that power no more to write writs. You know, writs were for the sovereign. A writ of habeas corpus, it's for the sovereign, okay? A writ mandamus, it's for the sovereign. A writ of error, it's for the sovereign. It's our power and authority in the courts. And they got rid of that just like they got rid of the common law. And they specifically got rid of that. Now, I have written just recently a writ of error on the state level. They're too dumb to know anything anyway, and there's nothing on the state level. They don't know anything about the federal level. So now they got to deal with it, with that writ of error that I wrote them. And so are you in a state court?
It's a federal district court, a United States District Court of Louisiana.
Okay. You could try writing a writ of error. I would write it anyway, make it part of the record, because they cannot nullify an unalienable right, the right of the power of the people, which is the power of writs. And so they cannot just get rid of them. So I would write a writ of error and express in the problems and demand that they respond. You can also do a quo warranto. And of course, oaths and bonds. You kind of put that together all in a writ of error. They just call it a writ of error. But with the power of a quo warranto, you know, they have to, by what authority, you know? Also, there's a mandamus you could do, which is an order from the people. They're going to ignore that too. Bear in mind, these people are evil. They don't care. They own the whole system. They just don't care. You know, with the sheriff case that I sent up to the Northern District, I sent it up, and they sent it back to me. The papers were all ripped up and scrambled. I mean, it was disgusting. But they sent it all back to me, and they said that this isn't appropriate. So I reset it up and sent it back to them, okay? And that was a week ago. And I just heard back today it was passed on, and they're trying to consider whether this is an appropriate paper or not. But I'm going to keep pushing it through. And even if that sheriff's paper doesn't get through, we did include it inside the paper that we're putting through as a presentment to the United States Supreme Court, because this is a common law issue. We need our sheriffs back. And of course, we did this in the federal court anyway. But in any event, we'll see where we go with that. But that's all I can offer you for those things.
And I also did do oath and bonds. I did that. I did that too. The oath and bonds, I did that form too. I did like 10 different things that I sent to them. And like I say, they continue to ignore things and like you know, they continue to do what they want. Similar.
Right.
In so many words.
You also can bring an issue up through an appellate process. Okay, you know, what's going on in the court, and you could try that. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things you could try. I mentioned quite a few different things, and that's another one you could do. But, you know, again, making your case is the most important thing, because at some point in time, on the other side of devolution, then that case, as long as you've really couched it correctly and put everything together, you can resurrect it and go into the courts of justice that we're working to get back. So, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we'll take our next person. Anthony from Texas, it looks like. Let me push the button. There you go. Anthony, Texas. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I was calling to update you. You remember I was scheduled for trial on that possession of a firearm and the illegal dumping.
Yep.
I got the illegal dumping dismissed, and I managed to get out of trial like 8 different resets. But here last week, they sent in a special judge that was retired to kind of like muscle me into the trial. So what he did was...
What's the last...
He
they're holding?
Is that
what they're holding?
Sir? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You got a lot of noise in the background.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me see if I can exit out. Yeah, so they had a retired judge that came in, and he kind of like did everything to just push the trial through. So he picked the jury. He did everything. And on the day of trial, when I came in, once the judge asked me to swear in, I asked the judge, "Judge, are you going to swear in? Prosecutor, are you going to swear in? Is anybody going to swear in?" And all I could see was the judge turn red, and the prosecutor took off his jacket, and he slammed it and ran out of the courtroom. And they instantly tried to get me off of that. So they declared a mistrial. Yes, sir.
Hold on a minute. Okay.
Okay.
What charges are left right now? Because you said some were dismissed. What are the charges right now?
They still holding on to the firearm case.
Okay. I was hoping that would be the one. Move it to federal court for cause. You're in a state court, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Move it to federal court for cause and climb that ladder, because the Supreme Court has already made that ruling, and you might be able to get, you know, some justice there on that. Let me just take a quick look at something here if I got it open still. Hang on a second. Okay, Louisiana. Oh, well, I may not have all the states here. Goodness, I forget what district. You don't know what circuit you're in on the federal level. The circuit.
No, sir.
Okay, because you would find out what judge. I mean, if you would get someone like Clarence Thomas, you know, inside his district, a lot, you know, be pretty good. Oh, Kavanaugh and Alito. But you don't want to be in Brown Jackson's district, and where they're anti-guns to begin with, and Sonia Sotomayor, you don't want to be under her either. Now, I think that's in New York, as a matter of fact. Yeah, exactly, it is in New York, so that's where I'm at. That's a problem. But I did hear that you can take your case into any of those districts. I'm not familiar with the process of that. I'd have to research that out, maybe talk with someone who understands how the federal district courts work in
okay.
a solution on that. But I heard that you can. I mean, if you could do that, then I would try to move into Thomas's district and try to run it up that line. Okay.
Okay.
That's where you could go. Now, you have a problem of a denial, your denial of due process to begin with, okay, because you're not
okay.
That's a reason to be able to move into the federal courts, okay, for cause. And then the other one, of course, is the firearm. I mean, goodness, the Supreme Court just ruled on that, what, a year and a half ago? Okay. And there's something going through the courts right now that's supposed to fortify that more, I heard. So, but the bottom line is you put that stuff into that case and bring it up, move it to federal court for cause. And what you need to do now is, let me think. I'd have to think this out a little bit because, on the one hand, you're moving the case to federal court for cause for certain denials, and a denial of your right, for instance, Second Amendment, and a denial of due process because of the way they're running things. That should be sufficient. So you don't have to chase them individually. I used to chase them individually, but you just want to win the case, so you want to run it that way, I think. That's a thing you could do.
And what about the search in general? The search was bad as well.
Well, again, that is a constitutional issue, so you can address that on a federal level. You got the right to carry a weapon, you know, to be armed, to bear arms. So that, of course, that's a constitutional issue. A bad search, that's a constitutional issue. Due process, constitutional issue. You want to focus in on those three issues and bring up the appropriate amendments and whatever you can get on that. But particular amendments and Supreme Court decisions on that, and you move your case for that point. You don't argue anything else. The moment you argue anything else that is not a constitutional violation, when you move it into the federal courts, they're going to kick it right out and say, we can't hear this case. They're not going to tell you why. They're just going to do it. They're going to kick it out. And I'll tell you why they did it is because they can't answer. They can't rule on certain things. They can only rule on a constitutional issues. And you take those 3 points up, you just destroyed the whole case that they got against you.
Okay.
So I would do that right away. Stop planning for that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You say moving for cause for
yes.
constitutional the due process violation of Second Amendment, and what would be the other cause for the legal search?
Well, the other one, a bad search and seizure.
Okay.
Probably perfect. Looking at Fourth and Fifth Amendment, and you got the Seventh Amendment for due process because you got the right of a court of law, which is one that according to a court of record, common law. So go through all the amendments, read them very carefully, and see which ones you can use. I know you can use them right off the bat. And then, of course, you probably can find things even in the rest of the Constitution. You might find some things, too.
Okay. But again, okay.
You want the Supreme Court rulings on the gun issues, especially the latest ones. But go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sir. And even though the guy came forward who the gun belonged to, still just go with the constitutional issue.
There's too much noise in the background.
Yeah, these guys is racing on the side of the freeway, but okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Are we done, or did you have something else?
Oh, yeah. So I was asking you, do I still go along with the Second Amendment if the guy who the gun belongs to came forward with his papers and everything? That doesn't even matter?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it doesn't really matter because it was in your vehicle, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you might want to make that point, but who cares? You have a right to bear arms.
Okay. So the Bruins decision and Duarte. The Bruins decision, that was the latest one that overturned that made the Second Amendment unconstitutional for them to violate.
I don't know. That might be it. Yes, it does kind of sound a little familiar. That probably was it.
Okay.
Again, you find a lot of stuff in our paperwork if you're reading through it. Did you take the court access in the common law course?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, because that would have helped you, but it sounds like you know somewhat on the court systems as it is.
Yes, sir. But I'm finna take the course. I'm gonna start on the course tonight. I was supposed to start on it last time we talked, but they kind of had me all over the place. So now I'm starting to recognize that, you know, I do have some power in there, and I'm gonna take it up out of there. I'm gonna do a removal and get it out of here.
That's what you need to do. Move it to federal court for cause. Now, I moved a case recently from town court to state court, and they kicked the case back to me because I didn't give them any money, and they shouldn't charge me money because it's in their court system. They're a unified court system, which they are here in New York. They make a big stink about this. We're a unified court system. So you got the town courts, the village courts, the city courts, the state courts, the county courts, all of them, they're unified. So we should be able to move from one to another without a problem. Okay, plus they shouldn't be charging us money anyway. But they gave me a hard time, and so I paid the $210 for the index number here in New York and filed it. And they defaulted, so I won that case, and I filed my default. I'm waiting for receive the default seals and papers to come back in the mail any day now to me. But going in from state court to federal court, you should be able to move it without charge. But they may hit you for the $410, I think they charge.
Yeah, it's $450 here in Texas.
Yeah. Well, bear in mind, you'll get that money back, put it into your wherefore clause. You want that money back. And a very important thing, you want that court to cease and desist. That's what you're looking for. That's the key. That's the key key part of your wherefore clause, plus all your costs, plus there's a $200 that's an automatic that you add in incidentals. I'd have to think about what that might be for. I was trying to think that out before, but it's $200 you can add in. I've done it already. Matter of fact, I will probably post that paper up so people can see, how I went about to require the payment so I can get my money back, everything I spent, plus $200. Because I was not suing to make money. I was suing to get justice.
Okay.
Yeah. But I did also require it in my wherefore clause that they produce their oaths and bonds, and I might go after them personally outside the court system. Matter of fact, I am. If I can get the oaths and bonds, I'm going to go after them personally outside the court. So make sure you put that in your wherefore clause also.
Yes, sir. And can I get any of the money that I already jacked around dealing with this case, like the fees that I paid? First lawyer.
Every penny you paid, just keep a list of it, and like I said, I'll post the paper probably up. You know what? I'll post it. I'll post it under, let's see, education starts here. Come down to law, and then go over to court forms and process. Okay. When you go there, because I put this case together as a dealing with, let's see, how did I put this together? It was for, where is this? Is this it here? No, it's habeas corpus, multiple cause, challenge jurisdiction, traffic court. Okay, so I wrote it up as a traffic court. And again, you can use this on any situation, moving it into the courts and dealing with it as you move it up the line. But I instead of moving it to federal court, I moved it to state court first, and if necessary, I'd move it up to federal court. But I got what I needed out of the state court. Now, here, I'm going to add here a paper, which really is your costs, okay, and what you've spent. But you got to make sure that you put that in your wherefore clause when you move it into the federal court, that you're looking to get all of your court costs, okay?
Okay.
And you don't
okay.
have to get into details. You can just put that in general, because after that, it's only a matter of receipts and a record of what you paid in the court system. You can pull it together. And then on top of that, they throw $200. You'll see that in a form once I post it up here.
Yes, sir.
I think it's called a bill of particulars. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on to the next caller. Thanks, Anthony. Let us know how you make out. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, next call. Anybody else wants to get in the queue? We only got two other people in the queue. Okay, next caller is a, looks like from Washington. What's your first name? No, it's not Washington, is it?
Hello? Yeah, yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. What state, what's your first name?
My state is Texas. I'm from Houston.
Where?
Houston, Texas.
Okay, Texas. All right. What's your first name?
Okay, here's my situation. Let me get to a more quieter area. Here's my situation, sir. What happened was I was going through some mental health issues around the end of last year, and I'm a mental health client, and I was going through some things, and I made a couple of bad decisions. And I was allowing a person to write me out checks, and I was going in and cashing those checks. And no warrants were popping up for me. I was calling the bail bondsman place to see if I had any open warrants. And then all of a sudden, it's way in August, and my mom calls me up to her job. So I go up to her job, and she said, I need to sit down and talk with you. And then she told me, you know, why, you know, you're going to jail. And I'm like, why? And she was like, because these attorneys constantly sending me stuff to represent you, since you have a, you do you have a warrant? You must have, I think you have a warrant out for your arrest, and they're seeking to arrest you. I'm like, wait a minute. How did they go out of their way to find your contact number from the beginning? Second of all, that's not real, Mom. Like, these are just solicitors. They're just solicitors because I know it can't be real. How did they even get your number when I'm pretty sure all of my different contacts are registered too? I'm also living in housing funded by the government. So why are they constantly contacting you when they haven't contacted me and let me know I even had a warrant? So I took the time to call a bail bondsman company to see if it was if it was flawed. They confirmed that I really do have an open warrant out for my arrest. And I was asking, sir?
Yeah, so what's your question now?
Okay, so they never let me know anything. I was asking, you know, I was asking, what is my bond? They told me I have no bond. And I'm like, how do I have a warrant out for my arrest and I have no bond?
Well, because you haven't had your first hearing, they haven't actually arrested you, and then they have what's called the arraignment, and then that's when they would set bond. Until then, there wouldn't be no bond. And that imagine.
And they were sending not the courts. I never received something from the court at my mom's address or old address saying that I have a warrant. But I'm constantly getting solicitations from attorneys.
Okay, listen. It doesn't matter if there's a warrant out there. They don't have to advertise it. They're nothing. They could just go keep looking for you. When they catch you, they arrest you, and that'll be that. So if you're going to, needing an attorney, of course, that's going to cost you money. They play ball.
I don't have it, sir.
I don't know how to help you on that, but the bottom line is people should know the law so they can take care of their own legal business. And that's
yes,
a norm we need to be teaching our children in school. Matter of fact, they should take this course right here. Court access in the common law should be part of school. When they get into high school, they should be on top of this. They should have enough information, enough lessons, constitutional, civics, everything they need to know about our founding fathers, who we are as a people, what a republic is, and so on. And then they should take this course, you know, which I'm looking to change some of my books into books for school, make them textbooks. And I don't
know. That sounds wonderful.
Now, but maybe next year, maybe I can start working on that. And but these children should know. So, you know, again, train up a child on how they should walk. When they're older, they will not depart from that. So let's
say
thinking and teach our children how to handle their own business and how to be morally minded and so on and so forth. That's why we have to take the schools back. Now, anybody who's interested, and everybody should know the law, you could take our Court Access Common Law course. It's found under Education Starts Here. Come down to Court Access in the Common Law and click that button. Now, there are other two other things that pop up that you won't see, because once you take the course, you'll see this. One is the video course itself, and the other one is the table of contents of that course. But on this page here, Court Access in the Common Law course, to learn a little bit about it, we give you some information. It's a 90-hour course. We talk about some of the things, some of the participant requirements, and then we give you the first 3 hours to watch for free to see once whether you feel you want to take the course or not. So you could take the first 3 hours of the course for free right here and then make a decision. And here's the table of contents of everything that's inside this course. And it's all about due process and how to move your case through the court and how to write your papers, how to defend yourself, and so on and so forth, and what the common law is and the rules of common law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, sir. Can I ask a question? This is on National Liberty Alliance, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I've been on their website for about a month and a half now, and there's so many different, like, good links and stuff. I don't know exactly where to begin, but I always, when I jump back on the website, I begin on the video that's on the front of the page. I don't know if it's about, I don't know if it's with Roronto or if it's something. I think it might be common law. I watch it, like, twice a week. When I have nothing to do, I sit down and watch it twice a week. And it's so many different options of different courses and different books. I don't know exactly where to go directly. Does it make sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me try to respond.
And how much it would cost? Because I paid $5. I know my membership is up. I have to pay or donate another $5. But, you know.
If you're a premium member, which is someone giving $5 a month or more, you get all of our courses. You get the free courses and then the other courses that you get if you're a premium member, which is the government by consent is one of them. But as far as this court, this is a law course, and this we charge $125 for, and of course that goes into NLA at this point. But you know, it's a regular law course. You'll learn enough to be able to go into court, and if you continue studying and really dig down deep, and there's a lot more you can add onto this course that you'll find on our website. I mean.
What is it called? I'm sorry.
It's under Education Starts Here. It's called Court Access in the Common Law course.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
Court Access. Okay.
Yeah.
It's $125.
$125. I mean, you want to go to a bar school? You spend goodness, what was it? Trying to think what it was. Is it $200,000? No, that doesn't sound right. Maybe it was that much. It's very expensive to go to a bar school. Okay.
Yes,
we teach you everything you need to learn, as you'll find in this course. It's a 90-hour course. But you can take it at your own speed. But anyway, that course is available. But anybody trying to really come to the site and say, okay, how do I make sense out of this site? You want to start on the welcome page. And the welcome page, it'll take you a while to go through it if you watch all the videos. And you should watch all the videos because it gives you a good rounded appreciation of what we're doing here by going, reading this front page and watching all these videos all the way down. Now, when you've done that, things that people should do. Number one, Education Starts Here. Literally click on that and follow the breadcrumb trail. We'll lead you right through an education. Okay? The other thing at the same time people should be doing is going over to Start a Committee of Safety. Click on that. And that'll lead you through a breadcrumb trail again, right through here, lead you to the next step, right onward. And so you're learning how to work, how to create or get involved or learn the committees of safety on the one hand, which is government by consent, and on the other hand, the proper education you need in order to execute and exercise your government by consent, which also includes the ability, if you go through the law course, to be able to take care of your own business in court, coming in in your own person.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm taking notes of all. I'm writing it all down. So I can start a committee of safety. I just joined a committee of safety with a young lady and a young man. Her name is Andromedia Washington and Mr. David from the Houston Harris County.
Yes, we know them. And there's only one committee of safety in each county. If someone has already started it, then you want to join that one to find out.
Okay.
come to our directory, click on directory, and then you come to the state that you need to deal with. So what state are you in again? You're in Texas?
Yes, sir. Houston, Texas, Harris County.
So I click on Texas, okay, and we'll find out there's 858 members in Texas, there's 254 counties, and we constituted all of them. I don't know why there's 248 out of 254. I have to find out why that says that. But in any event, what county?
Harris.
In Harris County, okay, yep. So, yeah, that's a committee of safety in process. I don't know where they're at this point, but they're in process. And that's the one you want to join. So Andrew Media is running that. We know Andrew Media. And here's her phone number. And you got contact with them. Look, she's going to give you a lot of information, and she knows a lot about the law. She's been dabbling in the courts for a long time.
Yes, sir. The way we kind of crossed paths and met and began to discuss things was very, very like, it was very divine and God ordained, because her last name is Washington. My last name is Washington. And we only met during a hurricane in Houston that just recently passed while she was up there, her and her husband. My mom works up there. She was on her shift, and I was just eating breakfast like in the area with them. And I spoke to them a couple of times, and they adopted me as their newfound son. And I thought that she was just talking, and I thought that I really didn't even want to mention situations on accident. It just shows how God really works, the sovereign creator. And by all means, this lady is a real common lawyer. So with all that being said, sir, I really like admire you. You sound like one of those like elderly judges that deserves like a lot of honor. And I just want you guys to make me the best that I could be, because I really want to be a common lawyer. I don't want to be an attorney. I don't want to do it for money. I want to be a true common lawyer that stands for the true justice and righteousness of our sovereign creator and we the people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we
as a people in general, being under a Christian nation, need to proceed in all things with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And that should be the common position of every human being that has come to the truth. And, of course, when people join the committees of safety, they take a vow to the governor of the universe, and that is one of the vows, is that they will act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. Same thing with our administrators. So we should always, anytime we're doing anything in the courts, anything as under government by consent in the committees of safety, that's how we have to operate all the time. And we have to correct each other, and we also need to receive correction. Correction is grievous to those who are forsaken the way. But if someone comes to you with a correction, And usually people realize that they're right when they bring the correction and lay it out. If they have the patience to listen, then they'll take that correction. And those who reject it, it's grievous to those who are forsaken away. Now, sometimes people will bring correction, and the correction is an error. And the person they're trying to correct is not necessarily an error. So, again, we have to pray for wisdom on that and make sure we do our homework and check everything out. Whatever it is that we're discussing, and I'll make sure we're on the right track.
Yes, can I ask you one last question, sir?
Go right ahead.
Have you ever heard of dismissal for failure of jurisdiction?
Have I ever heard of what for jurisdiction?
Dismissal for failure of jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah. If they don't have jurisdiction, you can get out. That's how you get out of traffic court. They don't have jurisdiction. And that's how we start the paperwork. And you have to
because there's Andrew Media, she just slightly mentioned it. She just mentioned it. She didn't, you know, but she was going through a lot of information. She had so much information that just rolls off her tongue. She didn't know where to begin. And her husband had to slow it down a little bit for me because I'm a little slow at catching on. And when she mentioned it, it was like, oh, like gold. And I'm like, you know, so I think I tried to download the jurisdiction paper law for your website, but I don't know if it's the right one. And then I think when I downloaded it, sir.
If challenging jurisdiction, you know, again, you can use the framework of our instructions and forms for traffic court, because they're all statutory violations and they apply to some administration or some commercial activity and has nothing to do with we the people when they use these statutes. So, you know, you can use this as the structure. And but if you're going to come into a court to challenge jurisdiction, you have to have an appearance ticket, okay? And I'm showing that appearance ticket.
A what?
It's a shame you're not coming in, or you're not coming in on an app, are you? On your cell phone or something? You're not seeing my my desktop, right?
No, sir.
Okay. Next time, come in on a browser or an app, because then you can see the desktop I share. Okay, so you have to come in as notice of special appearance. If you fail to do that, they have statutes they put together that automatically denies you the challenge. So you got to be careful. It's just another battle you don't want to have to fight. The other thing you're going to you have to have a notice of motion. Okay, if you don't do that, you again, they're just going to ignore your paperwork. Okay, so those are four. This is due process. This is the forms and the way it goes through. Now the other thing you want to do is, of course, you want to have a verified jurisdictional challenge. It's got to be verified. Okay, because once you verify it and they don't do the right thing, okay, and your next step after you file these papers is move it to state court because they're just denying you all due process. And you're aware for
what do I find? Where do I find the verified jurisdiction, if you don't mind me asking?
What
do I find the verified jurisdiction?
Okay, you can find all these papers underneath Education Starts Here, come down to Law, and then move over to Court Forms and Process. You click on that, and then you scroll down the page, and you'll see Instructions Forms for Traffic Court, and you're challenging jurisdiction here, so again, you can use this with any court. You just have to make sure you change everything, a lot of changes you have to make according to whatever kind of a case you're dealing with, whatever court you're dealing with, and whatever statutes they're applying to, and so on and so forth. But the key thing here is that once you do your paperwork and you do a verified jurisdictional challenge, it's got to be verified, okay? And then when you move it into state court, okay, that's where you run into problems if you don't have a verified jurisdictional challenge. And you have to do a verified paper there, too, because you want to have a wherefore clause that's been sworn to. Okay, and they played a game that used to not be, I don't think it used to be anyway, but I learned that is something that blocks you. So that's why everything I do is a sworn statement. And so at the top of your paperwork, you have your state and your county, and it says SS, which is a sworn statement. And then at the end of the paperwork, you then have it brought before a notary, and you get it sworn to. Now, your wherefore clause is empowered at that point without having to go to a judge, okay? So if you move it to state court and they default, and they probably will, as long as you move it the proper way, okay, once you make the move over there and they deny it and they default, okay, well, your wherefore clause is there's a code, a statute out there for the clerk to act upon. As long as the wherefore clause is clear and there's nothing ambiguous there and it's a sworn statement, in other words, it's notarized, then the clerk must act and you get your necessary judgment, seal and everything on the judgment automatically, and you don't even have to go see a judge. Now you bring that over to...
It is in criminal court.
Well, I'm just saying this is how this process works. Going into criminal court now, again, a criminal court is not a court of record. You see, but that's a whole other story. It's too complex to get into. You need to take the course to really learn about that, and then we could discuss that with when you have knowledge to be able to put the information someplace in your brain that I give you. Otherwise,
and the course is called
Access in the Common Law.
Court Access and Common Law Courts, 125.
It's under Education Starts Here, and it's 1, 2, 3, the fourth one down. Says Court Access and the Common Law Course. Click on that and see if you want to take the course. You get the first 3 hours for free to get a taste of how this course runs. With that, we got to move to our next caller.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next caller. It's a wireless caller, 904. What's your state and your first name? Hello, a wireless caller. Last four numbers, 1833.
I'm sorry, yeah, I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. What's your first name and your state?
Yeah, name is George. I'm in Carabel, Florida.
Okay, George from Florida. Go right ahead.
A couple quick questions. There's a lot of people that are trying to figure out what to do, and some people are telling them, well, you have to correct your status.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a lot of baloney or what is your thought? You've heard those arguments, right?
You said it right. It's a lot of baloney. You start playing that. Look, people have come in to try to correct me on this. And if you're going to correct your status, are you saying you don't have status? Are you saying you're not a human being? You're saying you're not born in America or free on American soil? Why do you have to correct anything?
Well, what they're saying is that...
I know what they're saying. Let me explain something, though. I know exactly what they're saying because I studied that in the beginning when I was trying to figure things out myself. And it didn't take long. Well, it took a little while, you know, because I learned a lot from those people. There was a lot of good stuff. I understand how the enemy works. And all those things they're acting upon, you see, they'll come in and tell me that I'm playing in their sandbox. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you're going through that process, you're going through statutory process, you're playing in their sandbox. I'm not, because I don't deal with statutes. I'm dealing with common law and a court of law. Those are our courts. They may have hijacked them and maybe overlaid their corporatism over that courthouse, but nevertheless, that building is my building. I paid for that. That belongs to we, the people. Okay, and that was we have a constitution that says that we the people ordained and established this constitution for them. So we've laid it all out. It's ours. So I'm going into my courts using courts of record, which is courts that proceed according to the common law. I lay everything out. They could do all the evil they want and not pay attention to this or throw out that. Well, they could do anything they want. It's all a record for me. It doesn't matter to me at this point because I know we're coming to a point where justice will open and all my court cases are going to open back up. And I got quite a few personal court cases that have gone through the courts that I intend on opening them all up after devolution. But in any event, okay, I'm running a court according to the course of the common law, executing the courts of record the rules of the common law, and calling the fraud the fraud. But what they're doing is they're operating fraudulently. Okay, so yeah, you don't have to correct your status. You're already born free. Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God, and we made a covenant with God, praying to be under His law, and thereby under His wing and under His liberty. So we have all these unalienable rights that come from God, and that's what the Bill of Rights is all about. It's a covenant with God, and all law is built upon that common law point right there. So, yeah, you're wasting your time with status and going through and getting rid of your driver's license and trying to do something with not voting and not being a citizen. Look at the word citizen is used seven times in the Constitution. Our founding fathers understood what they were talking about. And what they did is they tried to give a different meaning to the word citizen. Okay, even the 14th Amendment, really, you have to twist it in order to make it say or turn up with what they claim it to be, okay, which makes you some kind of a different kind of a citizen. Well, that doesn't exist. It's all fraud. And that's what you have to move on with justice. And because, you look at, these people seem to think, and I know they make claims, and I don't believe any of them, not anymore. I did for a little while, but I don't anymore. And they made claims, okay? They seem to claim or think that they can go walk into any court once they set their status, click their heels, and they're transported into the court of justice. Nothing could be further from the truth. All you've done was you marked yourself. You put yourself on a list is what you've done once you go through that process. You know? I stay away. You don't need to do any of that. You're already free.
All right. The other question is, that, so have you heard of SEDM University? I think it's have you ever heard of them?
No.
They they have a lot of law, but I looked into it and I couldn't figure out heads or tails of what they were trying to prove. I don't know if you heard of it. The other question I have is your course on law. How long does it roughly? I know it's at your own pace, but like how many modules, how many hours roughly does it take?
Well, it's 90 hours of the course.
90 hours, okay.
Right. Now, on top of that, you know, you don't go through 3 hours and then go to the next 3 hours. You know, when we were doing that, we were doing 3 hours a week. So people had the opportunity to go back and review these things. We also put them into MP3s. So you have them in video. The course is a video course, but we also have MP3s at the bottom. You'll find MP3s. And MP3s are good because once you went through the video course, when you throw those MP3s on, you're driving in the car or whatever.
That's right.
Your mind's eye will remember and see these things visually because you already saw it visually already, and the mind picks up a lot of things pretty quickly anyway. So
yeah, I put the Bible on MP3 all the time, so I know what you're saying. It's a great way to study. It is.
Absolutely.
My last question, if I didn't forget, what was it quickly? Oh, I had something good. Oh, I know. I was fraudulently convicted of assault a few years ago. I went to pick up my daughter after school, and the teachers tried to take my daughter away from me. My wife had written some crazy letter, and they thought that she was in charge. And I'm like, no, guys, you know, I got a letter from the court, you know, that we have shared custody, and today's my day, so you know, the wife has no authority to say anything. It didn't matter. They didn't care. All I care about, the woman's in charge. So the teachers all ganged up on trying to take my daughter away from me. And I just, you know, grabbed my daughter and started walking away. And one of them chased me as I was walking away from the fight, okay, and chased me and tried to get in front of me. And my daughter's disabled, you know. So, you know, I had to, you know, to protect my – they actually tried to pull my daughter away from me. So I had to actually, you know, change hands, put her on the other side. And as one of the teachers tried to reach in and grab my daughter, I put my hand up and, you know, just to say, you know, hey, look, keep an arm's length distance away, you know. And, and of course, I just touched her shoulder because she was charging in. Next thing you know, she's charging me with assault. She came back with some bogus bruise on her breast, which I never touched. And anyway, so my lawyer had totally, you know, he was working for the other side. He didn't. You know, I tried to tell him how to beat this, you know. I said, look, I tried to walk away from the fight. That's all you have, a choice between, you know, fight or flight. I choose to walk away. You can't charge someone with assault if they prove their intent, which is to flee the argument, right? And there were a number of different things that I told him to defend me at. But instead of giving me the defense I asked for, he read me the riot. He never showed me any of the evidence, which I kept asking him for. I want to see the evidence. I want to see the evidence. This thing went on for months, and I never saw the evidence until we got into court. And then, you know, in the courtroom, they showed this picture, this bruise on this woman's breast. I'm like, hey, guys, how come I didn't get to see the evidence? So anyway, bottom line is this happened a few years ago, but something came up recently, and it's now surfacing again. What can be done about something like that where, a fraudulent charge and you found guilty because it was all crooked. And my lawyer, he was working for the other side and all that. What can be done about something like that at this point? Anything?
Well, it depends on evidence. And let me just make a point that should have done and for other people to realize, and everybody should think about this. If you're ever in a situation where you start to realize or think this could become something that could be a court case that I don't want no part of, but nevertheless it can be, from that point forward, you need to start taking notes, keep a log, and you need to start writing affidavits as they're fresh. And you need to look for witnesses or any kind of evidence. So the question becomes, do you have any witnesses? Do you have any evidence? Do you have any affidavits? Anything. Now, that's a problem. You probably don't have any of that because the lawyers, they don't like to use affidavits. Okay? They don't want their clients to swear to anything. Well, if they're not going to swear to anything, maybe they're guilty of something. You got to put your affidavit into the court. Okay, and what they do also is what lawyers will do, they'll do an affidavit on your behalf, and that is hearsay, and that's my argument in court when that comes up. that is hearsay. You know, that lawyer wrote that. That's kind of, they're trying to protect the person. Let them come up and say what the story is. Okay, let them write their affidavit. They won't even let them go up onto the stand. They don't write an affidavit. And, you know, without an affidavit, a valid affidavit, there is no case. So that becomes another problem, and for them anyway. Okay, so the question is, was there any witnesses? Do you have any evidence?
Yeah, no, people standing around were oblivious. They, you know, I tried getting the one person I thought would be a good witness. He didn't want to get involved. You know how all that goes. So, yeah.
That's a person you can pull. If they feel that way, when you put them up on a court, they put their hand on the Bible, if they do that anymore these days, and they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, let me tell you, fear starts to run in them, and you want to put the fear of God and the fear of the courts into them, let them know, you know, you don't want to lie in a court case, you know. You're going to get the truth. So you can... you can have that done, of course, before even the court case starts. It's called discovery. And where you get to call these witnesses in, there's a stenographer there, and they get sworn in, and they're asked questions, and they have to answer, and it goes on to the record. And so you could start there with that process.
Yeah.
That process needs to be started with a court case. You have to file in a court, state court. You have to start a court case, and you start to move through the discovery process. But go ahead.
I knew about the discovery process. I tried to get my lawyer to do the discovery process to show me the evidence that they had so I could build a case, because I could have easily torn it apart myself if I had seen it, especially that photo, you know. But again, my lawyer was working for the other side. He didn't even he didn't do any homework.
Hold it. If you're going to take this into court, you want to write an affidavit right now to the best of your knowledge of all that took place during that time period and what the time span was. It started on or about this. It went on to on or about that. You've mentioned numerous times he didn't get the evidence. Okay, well, now you I would sue him. I'd include him in the court case for the civil court case in order to sue the individuals, all the individuals involved. And
that's
one of them.
Well, so that's what you can do. So you can have a civil case against, like, start a civil case against your own attorney.
Him included, because he didn't go and get the evidence and even try to even battle it out. He should know better.
Yeah, and what's the statute of limitations on putting up a case against a guy like that for that kind of thing?
In common law, there is no statute of limitations.
Oh.
On those statutes. Oh. The bottom line, ultimately, what allows that case to go forward or not is the ability to resurrect.
Evidence.
That's it. I mean, people die, people move, find them.
One of the things they did was the school destroyed evidence because there were video cameras that could have, had given testimony as to what happened.
Do you want to make that point too? Again, this is your lawyer should know better.
Right. And they even brought it up in the court. I have a recording of the court, the court testimonies and all that. My lawyer did ask, you know, why did they destroy the video? And the person that testified and was, you know, wasn't even the person in charge of the videos, right? It was a teacher itself, which is like totally removed from the whole thing. It's definitely hearsay. But she said, "Oh, the cameras were pointing in the wrong direction," and I'm like, "Well, that's no excuse because you know we can't take your word for the fact that the cameras are pointing in the wrong direction. Okay, it's your job to provide the video, and then let us decide what the video sees."
All right, listen. Let me give you a few more thoughts. And then if you want to get more, you'll have to come back next week because we do have one more person. We're running
out of time.
But look, at what you want to do is you want to get the record of the court, okay, and the minutes of the court. If you can get the audio, that'd be good too, but at least get the written. What do they call it?
I already have the audio.
Okay. Well, then you want to do is turn that into a writing, okay, because you want to get it written down.
Transcribed.
Or sit down and just listen to it and start taking very accurate notes, okay? The thing is you want to create an affidavit out of that by laying out the case as it went through and then your response on the truth. In other words, create an affidavit that this, that, the other thing was the case, and so on and so forth, you know?
Right.
other words, you're going to create a nice affidavit off of that court case. That's where you begin. Then you're going to want to file the case in the civil, you know, it's a civil case, so it's coming in not as criminal, but as civil. And you got to find out who you're going to sue on this. Definitely would sue your lawyer. And then you want to move that process through the courts for discovery, and that's when you want to start pulling in these witnesses that didn't want to talk. You know, they may come up at this point, well, I don't remember. Well, they'll, you know, that would be a lie, too. I mean, how can you not remember the basics? Especially when you're frightened and say, oh, I don't want to get involved. Okay, well, they saw something, okay, and... you know, I don't think they'd get away with saying they don't remember that. But people might try that. But anyway, you got to build a case. You got to get as much evidence as you can, and you got to go sue them. But you definitely can sue the lawyer. I think that's a slam dunk.
Right. Yeah, because he didn't show me any evidence until we got to court.
But
so
we could talk more next week if you want.
Thank you so much for all that. Appreciate all your help.
You got it. Okay, our last caller. Ross, how you doing? You got the mic. Good to see you.
Hello, you hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead, Ross.
Is our membership to the United Nations a violation to our Constitution?
Say this one more time. Is a member? What was that?
Membership to the United Nations, is it a violation to the Constitution of the United States?
Well, the United Nations is the elite, ultimately. It is really a way to try to bring us into the New World Order, so that whole system, of course, is problematic. To join a group of nations to discuss situations and problems, that's a good thing if that's what they really were doing. But they're not doing that. They're doing a lot more than that. The United Nations, again, is a process trying to move all countries into the New World Order. It's the governing body.
Yes, sir. We have a constitution and the Universal Charter.
It's definitely a violation of the Constitution from the way that it's structured and its hidden purpose. That's the thing, its hidden purpose. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a violation of the Constitution. To prove that, you got to dig down deep and have knowledge and be really involved in the system to really be able to draw out all the evidence you need. Okay. Now, for nations to send representatives to a meeting to discuss issues and try to find out how we can work and live together, nation to nation, you know, country to country, well, that's a good thing, of course. And that should be. But that's what they're operating under the appearance of. But that's not who they really are. They are really, that is a governing body that becomes the government of the world. It's the New World Order. That's the governor of the world located down there in Manhattan in New York City.
Yes. I think the problem, our nation already has the masters to the host countries anyway. It's why we need a world order.
Say this again. I'm sorry.
We have ambassadors to the UK, France. Yes. We also have ambassadors to the United Nations. Why we need a UN ambassador doesn't even make any sense.
Exactly. We don't need that. Let's take this out a little bit. Definitely we have ambassadors. We have ambassadors to many, many countries, actually all of them, and vice versa for them. We all have ambassadors, okay, trying to work things out with different, you know, whatever. But to come together as a group occasionally to discuss issues between nations, I don't know that that's a bad thing. That's okay. But not the way the UN is set up, because, again, they're set up in constructive, just a fashion that they are the government of the future that they plan to bring. That will be the government. We'll no longer have a federal government, no longer have state governments, county governments, town governments, city, village, all that's gone, and you just have that one New World Order government, and that's their plan. So that's all evil and unlawful, and if you want to use the word, unconstitutional for sure.
Yeah, the problem is that it'd be hard to restructure it because not all the countries would agree.
Well, there's never, I don't know anyone that agrees with me 100%. You know, nobody's going to have that. So countries are not going to agree 100%. But to be able to come together with other countries in meetings from time to time, or even a group of countries in this area, whatever, however it works out, that's all a good thing, okay? Because you can work out problems. You can find places that you can agree upon, and then you can kind of work off of that. And there are certain things you're not going to agree upon. Well, life goes on, you know? We can't all agree with the same thing. Everybody 100% agreement, I think we'd be in heaven. But
I was just saying, because the First Amendment, other countries don't have any First Amendment.
No, nobody has a constitution like we do. We're the only common law constitutional country in the world, okay, or nation in the world. There is none other. The last one, 1400 B.C. With Israel. It was the first and the last one. We are the second and probably the last.
Yes, we didn't, our founding fathers didn't reinvent the wheel at all. They brought us some from England's unwritten constitution.
Well, we worked somewhat off of the Magna Carta, which worked off the Bible. And that's where common law comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
King of our courts, we are a Christian nation, even though Obama in 2016, right before in some kind of a dinner in the White House, made a statement, the end of the Republic never looked so good. That's what he said. From their mind and their perspective, that might be true, but from our perspective, it's not, and we're about to rise. So we are a common law republic, second to none. Now remember, there's about 240 or so republics in the world, but none of them are common law republics. We're the only one, okay? And again, we're founded on the Bible. We are founded under the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law, which is a covenant with God, asking for His blessings, to live under His law, and receive His liberty. We have unalienable rights. And God said, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. That's what the Bible said.
So yes, sir.
Our founding fathers were very clear about that. I've written papers on that, pages on pages on end concerning that fact. And so we are a Christian nation. We are a common law republic. We are under the Bible. And the king of our court is God. And the jury is the king's bench, which is God's bench, and that's why we take our oath to God, the governor of the universe, when we go into a court of law.
Yeah, how do we, the American people, take our sovereignty back from the United Nations?
Well, they're going to be gone if devolution's going to clear that all out. I'm sure there's no doubt about it. The United Nations will be shut down in Manhattan. They'll be gone. That's going to become a vacant building. But that's all going to happen after devolution. Devolution is in play, and like Trump says, we're not going to tell the enemy when we're going to come, but we're coming, and we're going to hit them, and we're going to hit them hard.
Okay. It's time.
Say that again?
John? It's time. It's 8:08.
It's time for the end of the program, or it's time for getting our nation back?
Yes.
Both. Time for both. I got it, Terry. I appreciate that. Okay, we've come to the end of our program. Thanks, Ross. Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday.
I'd like to add one thing.
Oh, yeah, go right ahead, Terry.
The UN is doing something that's invading our country.
Yeah.
If you ever heard of a regional council of governments, that's a bunch of governments where our elected officials have decided to group together several cities or a region outside of their current established government. Those are organized. Those regional councils of government are organized by the UN. And that's something that you can go to your council and complain about. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Okay, with that, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.